And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21, verse 2. So it says the holy city will come down out of heaven as a bride. Then verses 10 and 11 tell us the details of this city in heaven. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And notice the word translated as clear, number 2929, also means to shine like crystal. So John saw the holy city from a great and high mountain. The light of the city is like a precious stone. Its light is like a jasper stone. Its light shines like crystal. Then verse 12, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So the holy city in heaven has a high wall and 12 gates with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then verse 13, and on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. So there are 3 gates at each of the 4 cardinal directions. Then verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So the wall of the city has 12 foundations, each named after one of the 12 apostles. Verses 15 and 16, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So the holy city is 4 square. In other words, it's shaped like a square. Then it says the length is as large as the breadth. Breadth refers to the width. And it adds to that, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So the length, width, and height of the city are equal. And it says the measurement of the city is 12,000 furlongs. Furlongs are a measurement of distance, in other words, length. So the holy city is 12,000 furlongs in length. Its length, width, and height are equal. Therefore, the city is 12,000 by 12,000 by 12,000 furlongs. 1 mile equals 7.99998 furlongs. So 12,000 furlongs divided by the number of furlongs in 1 mile gives us 1,500 miles in 12,000 furlongs. So this is telling us that the holy city in heaven is 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. So if we were to view it from the side, it would be 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles tall. And if we viewed it from the top, looking down, it would look like a square, and all 4 sides would be 1,500 miles long each. And the diagonal across the square would be 2,121 miles long, as you can see here by this calculation. Then verse 17 says, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. So the wall, which we were told before is great and high, we are now told is exactly 144 cubits. 144 cubits is equal to 216 feet. So if that refers to the height of the wall, then the wall of the holy city is about the same height as the Chelsea Street Bridge towers in Boston, Massachusetts. The wall, it says, has 12 foundations. That may mean that there are 12 floors and each floor is 216 feet high. If that's the case, 216 feet times 12 foundations equals 2,592 feet in height. That's roughly half a mile in total height. Since the height of the city, we were already told, is 1,500 miles in height, then even at 216 feet times 12, the wall would not span the height of the city. But notice it says the 144 cubits are the measure of man. This is confirmed in Revelation chapter 7, where it says in verses 1 through 8 that the 12 tribes of Israel will be sealed on the earth, and the number of them is 144,000, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. You'll notice that the 12 gates of the holy city are dedicated to the 12 tribes. The city itself is 12,000 furlongs in length, width, and height, and the wall of the city is 144 cubits. So the measurements of the holy city in heaven are very similar to the number of people in each tribe. Revelation 11 clarifies this somewhat when it says in verse 1, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein." It's telling us here that when the angel measures the temple, the angel is also measuring the people who are in the temple. So in Revelation chapter 21, when it goes into more detail about the measurements of the holy city in heaven, we already know that part of these measurements refer to the people themselves, specifically the 12 tribes. So when it says the city is 12,000 furlongs, there are 12 foundations, and the wall is 144 cubits, this is partly referring to the 12,000 people in each of the 12 tribes of Israel, which total 144,000. That also explains why the holy city comes down to earth, because it's the people that will come down to earth after they walk the city in heaven for 42 months. But chapter 11, verse 2 gives another clue. "But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. This tells us that the holy city includes a temple and a court. Revelation chapter 11, verse 19 confirms that the temple is in heaven. The temple of God in heaven will be opened after the 1260 days are finished. That is when the 42 months start, as we're told in other chapters of the Bible, which we've discussed before. The Gentiles, it says, will tread the holy city for 42 months. Again, the holy city, we are told, is in heaven, and the word translated as Gentiles means multitude. In Revelation 7, verse 9, right after it talks about the 144,000, it says, "A great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations, kindreds, peoples, and tongues, will stand before the throne which is in heaven." So the multitude of all nations cannot be counted, and they are in heaven at the throne. And Revelation 11 makes clear that occurs at the start of 42 months. The multitude walk the holy city in heaven 42 months. This is referring to the escape of the woman, the escape of the bride that occurs when the asteroid hits the earth at the end of 1260 years and at the start of the final 42 months. Revelation 11:2 tells us that the angel does not measure the multitude. They are the same multitude in Revelation 7 that cannot be counted. But the clue that's going to help us in chapter 21 is the word translated as court in chapter 11. We already established that it's talking about the temple in heaven here, and it says the court is without the temple. In other words, it's outside of the temple, and it is not measured. So the measurements of the holy city in Revelation 21 do not include the court. And the word translated as court, number 833, also means sheepfold or simply house. So Revelation 11 tells us that the house where the sheep live, in other words, the house where the multitude live, is outside of the temple. In Revelation 21, verse 22, it says the Lord and the Lamb are the temple in the holy city. So Revelation 11 is saying the court is outside of the temple. In other words, the house of the sheep is outside of the Lord and the Lamb. And verse 23 of chapter 21 says, "The Lord and the Lamb are the light of the city." So the house of the sheep, in other words, the houses of the multitude, are outside of the light of the city. This is extremely important once we discover where the city is and what the light is. The first clue is that the holy city is not on earth. It's in heaven. The second clue is that the holy city shines. So it shines in heaven. There are two things in our sky that shine, the sun and the moon. Since Revelation 11 tells us the multitude will walk in the holy city, it's unlikely to be the sun. So let's take a look at the moon. The moon has an equatorial radius of 1,738.1 kilometers. That means the length from the center of the moon out to the surface of the moon along the equator is 1,738.1 kilometers. The diameter of the moon would be double the radius. 1,738.1 times 2, which is 3,476.2 kilometers. For those who don't know, the diameter is the length straight through the center from one side of the moon to the other side. 3,476.2 kilometers is equal to about 2,160 miles. So the equatorial diameter of the moon is 2,160 miles across. The holy city, we are told, is four square and 1,500 miles in length, width, and height. Simple mathematics gives us the diagonal of this square, which is 2,121 miles across. If we looked down from the top of the moon, the square of this holy city would fit within the equatorial diameter of the moon, leaving an extra 19.5 miles between the surface of the moon and the four corners of the city. The polar radius of the moon is 1,736 kilometers. 1,736 times 2 is 3,472 kilometers. So the length from the North Pole to the South Pole straight through the center of the moon is 3,472 kilometers, or more specifically, 3,471.94 kilometers. And 3,471.94 kilometers is equal to 2,157.36 miles. So the polar diameter, in other words, the length from the North Pole to the South Pole through the center of the moon, is roughly 2,157 miles. The holy city, we're told, is 1,500 miles in height. So if it was inside of the moon, that would leave an extra 328.5 miles between both the top point of the city and the North Pole surface and the bottom point of the city to the South Pole surface. From this perspective, the holy city could be shaped similar to an octahedron, which is basically two pyramids pointing out from a common base. This shape also looks like a gemstone, which is what John described. The octahedron shape has eight sides and six points. The 12 gates of the city, we're told, are three at each cardinal corner, north, south, east, and west. Therefore, there could be four gates, one at each corner of the center base of the octahedron, and four gates at each of the pole points, one for each side. That is, four gates for each of the four corners and one gate for each of the eight sides, which could be located at the two polar points. The interior structure of the moon includes an inner core, an outer core, and a lower, middle, and upper mantle. According to recent NASA numbers, the moon's core has a radius of 480 kilometers, which is equal to 298.258 miles. That means the entire diameter of the core is roughly 597 miles across. Revelation 21 verses 22 and 23 explain that the temple is the Lord and is also the light of the city. If the city is inside the moon, then the power source may be the core. In other words, the light would come from the core. Verse 25 says there is no night in the holy city. That would also make sense if the city is below the surface of the moon and receives its light from the core. The sheepfold, or the house outside of the temple that is given to the multitude, would appear to be in the mantle of the moon. That would mean that the mantle of the moon would be at least partially hollow, and that may explain why the moon rings like a bell, as was discovered between 1972 and 1977 when seismometers were placed on the moon by the Apollo missions. The ringing of the moon like a bell was also recorded in a 1970 popular science article after Apollo 12 deliberately crashed the ascent stage of its lunar module into the moon's surface. It was claimed that the crash caused the moon to ring like a bell for an hour, leading to arguments that it must be hollow, like a bell. Arguments for the hollow moon theory also include an article published in the Russian equivalent of Reader's Digest in 1970 by the Soviet Academy of Sciences. Their hypothesis that the moon is hollow was based on the suggestion that large lunar craters are too shallow and have flat or even convex floors. The fact that the moon is less dense than the Earth is also put forth as evidence that the moon is hollow. Mainstream science argues that the moon has a solid internal structure based on seismic observations, moment of inertia parameters, and fine-scale variation. First, seismic observations have helped constrain the thickness of the crust and mantle, as well as the core radius. Second, moment of inertia patterns have demonstrated that the core is 1.4% of the total mass. The normalized polar moment of inertia is 0.394, which is close to 0.4, which is the value for a solid object with radial constant density. A completely hollow moon, they say, would have something closer to 0.67. And third, the fine-scale variation of the lunar gravitational field is consistent with geologic processes involving a crust, mantle, and core. But you'll notice that none of these points examines whether or not it's possible that the mantle of the moon is partially hollow. So, because they have not examined that question, they have not proved it false. The prophecy is clear that the measurements are of the temple and the city, but leave out the court. If it is inside the moon, then it would mean that the measurements include the core and the surrounding area, but do not measure the house, which resides in the mantle. The volume of the moon is 21.9 billion cubic kilometers, which is equal to roughly 13.6 billion cubic miles. The volume of the core of the moon can be calculated by the radius using the standard volume equation for spheres, which gives us a core volume of 463,246,686.3 cubic kilometers, which is 287,848,145.78 cubic miles. Subtracting the core volume leaves a potentially habitable space of roughly 13 billion cubic miles, which is far more space than the surface area of the whole Earth, which is 196.9 million square miles. I don't know if it would be scientifically possible for humans to inhabit the moon in this way given our current level of technological development, but the measurements of the holy city in heaven, as described in this 2,000-year-old prophecy, can fit inside of the moon. For more information, check out the playlist Bible's Countdown to the Meteorite and Rescue linked here. Thank you to those who are and have made this work possible. If you like this video and want to see more like it, please consider providing support. I hope you're doing well, and I will talk to you next week.